In Manassas, Virginia, lawyers for alleged sniper John Muhammad go to court today to argue that one of the capital charges he faces should be thrown out. Muhammad will stand trial this fall for one of a series of sniper shootings that killed 10 people in the Washington, D.C. area last fall. But his attorneys say one death penalty count should be invalid because alleged accomplice Lee Malvo already has confessed to that crime. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
Prosecutors in Prince William County, Virginia, say John Muhammad killed Dean Myers, the ninth sniper victim in last fall's shooting spree. They say Muhammad should die for his role in that crime, but Muhammad's lawyers say he could not have pulled the trigger because court documents show that Lee Malvo has already admitted that he did. They want the judge to drop one of the death penalty counts because of this apparent inconsistency. How can this be? How can prosecutors come up with two apparently conflicting versions of reality? Professor Ann Bowen-Poulin of the Villanova School of Law says it happens all the time.
It happens most often when you have two people or more who commit a crime together, and then they don't go to trial together.
And that's the case here. Circumstances were similar last fall in the high-profile Florida prosecution of Alex and Derek King, 12 and 13-year-old boys accused of murdering their father. The boys first confessed, then said a 40-year-old family friend was the real culprit. Assistant State Attorney David Rimmer argued to one jury that the boys committed the murder. Then he told another that the family friend was responsible.
See, the inconsistencies were created by the boys. They are the ones who then changed their story and said, oh, no, we didn't do it. We lied when we said we did. So they created that problem themselves.
The friend was acquitted. The boys were convicted. But the judge in the case was troubled by the process and threw their verdict out. They pleaded guilty to third-degree murder, and their friend was later convicted of being an accessory. David Rimmer still thinks he did the right thing. He presented the evidence.
As long as the prosecutor doesn't manipulate the facts or fabricate evidence or withhold evidence, there's no misconduct. I mean, you present what the evidence is, and if it's in conflict, it's up to the jury to resolve it.
Professor Ann Bowen-Poulin says there may be no law against it, but she believes presenting inconsistent theories is simply unethical.
Because I think it's tantamount to lying to the jury. And I don't think the government should be in a position of making a misrepresentation. And you know in one of those cases they were wrong.
But prosecutors in Virginia are making two points. First of all, they don't have to present consistent theories for different cases. And secondly, they don't really need to say whether John Muhammad pulled the trigger. They're saying he was so intimately involved, he was, in effect, a trigger man. But University of Richmond law professor Ron Bassigle says prosecutors are pushing the boundaries of the law here. Ordinarily, prosecutors can't fudge the trigger man issue if they want to get the death penalty.
Because otherwise, Virginia says you have to be the trigger man unless it was murder for hire, or unless it was like under the order of a mafia, a chieftain type of thing, or the terrorist situation. Those are the only three forms where someone other than the trigger man can get the death penalty.
Bassigle says part of what's going on here is a game. The defense is daring the prosecution to show it has proof that Muhammad pulled the trigger. And Bassigle says the prosecution wants to hold on to its evidence as long as possible.
There are constitutional requirements. They have to give up any evidence that would tend to establish innocence. But beyond that, it is still somewhat of a poker game. They don't have to completely open up their files.
So the defense may want to get rid of one of the death penalty counts, but they also want more time in court to get a peek at the other side's case. Even if Muhammad's motion succeeds, he could still face the death penalty under an anti-terror law for trying to extort $10 million during the killings. But there, prosecutors face another challenge. It's a new law that has never been used before. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.